Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I don't even understand the lyrics, but thanks for the... I asked for it, the Metallica song, For Whom the Bell Tolls, but I don't understand what they're screaming about, so I'll just read it to you. Because today's theme on The Savage Nation is this. Are you listening before you touch the dial? You ready jumping already, moving around, see what the other people are saying? Well, go ahead, do what you have to do, but no man is an island. That's today's theme. Why, you're an island unto yourself? Because I'm not. No, no man is an island. And let me tell you something else. Do you really care about Clinton's sex scandals? Because I don't. I'd like to know what's going on in the media. The world is still reeling from Obama's policies, and suddenly, all of a sudden, no talk about illegal immigration, no talk about the threat of Islamofascism, only Clinton's sex scandals, and that's of interest to you? I don't care about it from 30 years ago. What problems still exist from when Trump started running that haven't been resolved that we should be talking about? Well, how about these? What would you add to this list of topics that we should be hearing about on the campaign trail instead of Clinton's alleged rapes? I'm sick of it. We're not that stupid, are we? How about this? Here's what's been going on. Have you heard any of this in the recent interviews or speeches? Military suicides, 22 a day. China building islands in the South China Sea. Russia in Syria. North Korea testing nukes. Iran, the lie about Iran's nuclear program. Iran holding American sailors captive and making them cry. Stealing classified information. The spread of ISIS. ISIS attacks. Boko Haram growing in Africa. The refugee crisis unending in Europe. Charleston church shooting, still an issue, because it's being used by the demagogues to justify killing police. Supreme Court legalizing gay marriage, huge issue, having ramifications on every bathroom in the United States of America. Terror attacks, sending American troops back into Iraq as advisors while saying there is no war. Opening up relations with communist Cuba. The death of Antonin Scalia, no investigation, no autopsy. The Zika outbreak because of the CDC's incompetence. The cutting of our military, the releasing of Gitmo detainees or going back on the battlefield. Clinton's email scandal threatening national security. What would you add to this list of topics that Trump should be talking about and being asked about instead of dredging up Clinton's women's issues? And I'll ask you this question. Do you actually care about Clinton's women? Because I could care less. It's nothing to me. It means nothing to me. Why is that an issue right now? For whom the bell tolls, no man is an island, entire of itself. Each is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thine own or of thine friends were. Each man's death diminishes me, for I am involved in mankind. Therefore send not to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. This was written by the great dead white male John Donne in 1624, and the moron, idiot, stupid fools who don't like the canon of the dead white males ought to go study somewhere in Africa or the Middle East. Welcome to the Savage Nation. That's just the beginning. 855-407-282 is the phone number. I could see that this is over your head, and no one's going to call me on it, as I feared. I suspected this. If I had said, why? Trump is 100% right for talking about the rapes, Clinton's rapes. It's an important topic. That's very smart of the campaign advisors that he brought in from the time of Bob Dole. It's smart to bring in Ed Rollins, the old apparatchik of the Republican Center. That's right. Let's talk about the rapes. That's what's important to America today. None of these other topics. The people are too stupid. They don't understand that. Now, Mr. Trump, here's what you talk about. You talk about Clinton's rapes. You forget all that crap about immigration. Stop talking about Muslims. Move to the center. Don't worry about these people. You own them. They got nowhere to go. I'm Ed Rollins. I know what I'm talking about. That's where the country has gone. The campaign has been stolen by these new advisors. Now he's meeting with Kissinger? Are you joking? The warmonger, the traitor, the backstabber of the American troops in Vietnam is now going to be a chief advisor to Donald Trump. What a wonderful day this is. Shall I start singing zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay? Because I'm not going to. I am not going to. And I'll tell you something else, since I'm just getting warmed up. If you think it's a guarantee that Trump is going to win because he's moving to the center, you are mistaken. The only way Trump can win is by staying with what he started with. These stupid, moronic advisors that that team hired are moving him exactly in the direction he should not be going. They're trying to do what Nixon did. You know, appeal to the idiots on the right in the beginning, get them excited, then hire us, the geniuses from K Street who destroyed America, and we'll tell you how to win the election. Forget those stupid right-wingers. Forget those idiots on the radio who you used in the beginning. What I want you to do now is talk to the center. Talk to Main Street. So let's see, Mr. Trump, why don't you start talking about Juanita Broderick and the rapes? Yeah, let's forget Muslims. Let's forget illegal immigration. Put that wall aside. Talk about Clinton's rapes, Mr. Trump. That'll get you right to the finish line. I'm sorry. I've had it. I'm not holding it in anymore. That's all there is to it. That's my opinion. This is idiotic. I've never seen anything like this. Unless you are as stupid as they think you are. It's possible you are. It's possible the average jerk out there is idiotic. It's possible I overestimate my audience. It's possible the average guy out there is an idiot who doesn't deserve anything better than Barack Obama or a replacement of him. And while I'm talking about that, let me tell you this. This is a little curveball coming. Okay, we know Clinton's in trouble. We know that liberals don't like her. We know that they prefer Bernie Sanders because they're all communists and they think that living like they're living in Venezuela would be a fun thing to do, you know, where you're fighting over one loaf of bread or one salami and you're laying in a hospital ward with blood on the floor. That's their idea of a future America. So that's why they love Bernie Sanders because they've been brainwashed. But what if the Democrat Party was smarter than you think and they see that Clinton Hillary is an unpopular candidate? They realize she's not liked by the so-called progressive psychos. And they say, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to make it a Clinton-Sanders ticket. That's the end of the election. Period. Bingo. Because half the Sanders voters right now who like Sanders would vote for Trump. But if Hillary Clinton and her advisors were smart enough to incorporate Bernie Sanders on a ticket, Clinton-Sanders, end of the election, it's over. Because if it's Trump and that one from Alaska, whose name I don't even remember, that then it's over. End of the game. The tennis match is over. Break your rackets. Leave the stadium. Buy a Diet Coke and head to the subways. Because he picks Sarah Palin. Worse yet, Newt Gingrich, end of story. Forget about it. It's a fire sale. They're going to pick that old hack as vice president. End of the story, fire sale. Republican National Committee is running the show. Period, end of story. That's it. I'm Michael Savage. I hope you like what I'm saying because I'm saying it anyway. What would you like to add to that list? What would you add to this list of topics that Trump should be addressing and being asked about by the geniuses in the media instead of dredging up Clinton's women's issues? Or am I mistaken? You actually think that Clinton's sex scandals are important? You must be joking. Well, here's one who thinks it's important. Charlene on WJR in Detroit. Charlene, what in the world are you thinking? Why is this important in a world that's burning?
Because Hillary was directly involved. She sits there and says that any woman who makes a charge against a man should be believed, yet she was the one bullying and attacking these women into silence. She was.
So you think that, but Bill Clinton's, wait a minute, you think that Bill Clinton's behavior of 30 years ago is more important than building a wall with Mexico?
No, but I think Hillary's behavior.
I asked you a question. Is it more important than building a wall with Mexico to stop the flood of illegal aliens?
No, I think it's equally important.
Equally important. Boy, oh boy, you ought to really go to a neurologist and see if your optochiasma is still operational. Thanks for that call. I knew it. I knew it. I was wrong. See, I had no idea how stupid the American people are. In that regard, I overestimate my audience. So I apologize. Pardon me for trying to shoot too high. I guess I missed the target. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Now, the bell tolls for me because I dared step out of line. I am as responsible for launching Donald Trump's career as anyone in this country. I've been with him from 2011. And I still support him. I do not support his advisors. Let me be very clear. They are misadvising him. They have steered him off game. They are losing their audience. He cannot win by alienating his base. They are making the same mistakes they've made with every other Republican candidate. And the proof of this statement, and write it down, is that instead of talking about all of the real issues that I have mentioned and others that you may mention, and they're real issues, from the borders to the language to the culture to China to Russia to ISIS, I gave you the list. We're hearing about sex scandals of Bill Clinton from when he was in the White House. And this is supposed to bring you to vote for him? I'm sorry. I am disgusted by this. And this is a direct result of the clowns that were hired, like Ed Rollins and the other fools, these silent Republican operatives who have destroyed the country. And make no mistake about it, they're the ones who've destroyed America. The inside crowd, the K Street crowd, the Beltway mob. These are the people who are now advising Donald Trump, as sure as I'm standing here. Because I studied this. I spent a few hours the other night. I looked at some of the budgetary items in his campaign. And one of them caught my attention. I forget the number. It was in the millions. It was in the millions for, quote, strategic advisors. And I said, oh, holy God, not again. Not again. Somebody whispered in his ear and said, you need to hire these very important strategic advisors. No, don't listen to those who helped launch your career. Don't listen to the people who attend your rallies. No, what you do is you talk about Bill Clinton's rape scandal. That's what's going to get you over the finish line. Oh, forget that border stuff, Donald. Don't even mention the wall anymore. If anyone asks you about it, just say, I don't know what you're talking about. Say, make America great again. But are you going to build that wall if you win? Make America great again. No, I understand that, but would you help make America great again by building that wall? Well, I want to say this. I'm going to make America great again. Okay, so you're not going to build the wall. Okay. Well, what about the threat of the Islamic terrorists that may be coming in with Muslim refugees? Are you still going to say we're going to ban all Muslims from coming to America until we can figure this thing out? Well, all I can say is make America great again, and Bill Clinton raped those women 30 years ago. I'm sorry. I'm not going there. You're not dragging me there. I am a free agent. I have only one thing to offer you on this radio show. You know what that is? I have only one thing, and I've not lost it in 22 years, and I refuse to throw it away for anyone on this planet. Because I have to answer to my conscience, which means I have to answer to God. And you know what that is? I offer you one thing on this show. Only one thing. My integrity. The day I throw my integrity away, my show is over. And I'm not willing to throw it away for any man on this planet. Never. And I'm sorry. This is a mistake. And I'm saying it because it is a mistake, and I'm going to say it until someone up there hears me. But you don't agree with me. Many of you say it's a good strategy, like Rick on WABC. All right, Rick, yeah, it's a good strategy talking about rapes. Go ahead, why?
You and me, because we're of that age. This is boring junk. We don't want to hear it anymore. But the reason it's being said or advocated by the campaign, I believe the issues that you're talking about will be handled at his talks and his rallies. But the reason they're putting this out there is there's a large block of people, some of which are in Bernie's camp, some of which are kind of floating in the middle, that weren't even a gleam in their parents' eye when this thing went down. Plus, the people...
Wait, what thing went down? What thing went down? You're saying that these people who don't even know who Bill Clinton is are suddenly going to care about the fact that he molested women in the White House?
No. You got to understand, they're a different creature. These millennials have a different mindset than you.
I understand. So why would they care about Bill Clinton screwing around with women in the White House? Why is that an issue for them?
Because they don't think like you and I. You don't understand.
Okay. So you now put your mind in their mind. What? How do they view that then?
This is abhorrent. This is terrible. Don't you know these are touchy-feely people? That you can't do something like they would be.
Right. So what's going to happen is, if I were advising Hillary Clinton, I'd use it to my advantage. I would say that despite the fact that her husband was a runaround, no good piece of garbage, this woman thrived. She survived. She didn't hide. She didn't run away. In fact, she went into politics to prove that she's an independent woman. This makes her stronger, not weaker. Watch out, because that's what's going to happen. She's going to use it against them. She knows judo tricks that Ed Rollins didn't learn. Her people know judo tricks that the clowns that are running Trump's campaign never heard about.
I think that Hillary is an imbecile. I mean, for her to bring out Bill as the economic advisor, her memory is very short. She doesn't remember the 2012 campaign when Obama was floundering against whoever it was, Romney, that he was running about. And Bill Clinton gave that eloquent speech, remember that? And praising how great Obama was at straightening out the...
But Rick, I don't remember all of these things. I don't pay attention to who said what when. All I care about is my country. And all I know is that I thought that Trump was going to be the guy, the man on the white horse, to bring some sense to this nation and make America first instead of America last. And I will say, perhaps he is. But unless he starts to reinforce that message again, then perhaps he isn't. Why am I not allowed to ask that question? How do you know that he was just not faking it in order to get where he is and now he could care less? How can we know that?
Your heart tells you, Michael.
No, my heart tells me nothing. I don't trust any politician, do you?
I haven't felt this sense of national pride when I see this guy speak, and I can't remember. Maybe when Kennedy gave that ask not what...
It's easy. Great, I'm glad he's a great orator. That's wonderful. But in order to make the nation great again, don't you have to follow up oration with action?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You've seen how he runs his business.
What do you mean, I've seen how he... I don't know how he runs his business. I like his lettuce at Mar-a-Lago. I had a salad there twice. It was very good lettuce.
Perry Como's.
The cutlery, the dishes were clean. There was no grease on them. There were no water spots on the silverware. So, young, I don't know how anyone runs their business. That's between him and his accountants and lawyers. I don't know how anyone runs anything. All right, I disagree with you. I think that he's got to stay on message. He's got to keep talking about the borders, 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 the nationalist issues. I think talking about Bill Clinton's alleged rapes is a disastrous error and a bore. A gigantic B-O-R-E.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
You have heard in the tirades that preceded this break, the two tirades, the two segments of the show, about the misadventures of the advisors to Donald Trump, is what I would have said had I been in a room with them. I would have been screaming as loud as I just screamed. But since I am not in a room with these Republican operatives, the K Street operatives, the same people who have destroyed America, who are now running the Trump campaign, so best as I can tell, all the original people are out of the picture. He got this big, now he brought in the same people who ruined America. The same liars who gave us Paul Ryan, John Boehner, are now operating the Trump campaign to the best of my knowledge. All the old guys are out of the picture. They've been elbowed out. No man is an island, and I'm not an island, but I guess there goes my running the Department of Health and Human Services, as if I really would have taken that job. I am so not a bureaucrat. Do you actually think I was angling for a job? Many of you thought so. I never, ever could have, nor would have, taken anything, because I don't need it, number one, and number two, it's not my lifestyle, and number three, I'm the worst bureaucrat God ever invented. I would never wear a suit to work, let alone sit in a chair 12 hours a day and lord it over people. So don't think I really wanted anything. The point was is to tell them that that needed to be done. Now, I would rather talk about erectile dysfunction than talk about this election if I could. If I really could talk about what I'd really like to talk about, I'd rather talk about the organic structure of niacin and nitric oxide, the chemistry of Viagra. How that niacin also supports erectile function because it's a vasodilator. Because I'm more interested in that right now than in the election. But since this is a popular talk show that reaches a mass of people, I guess all you want to hear about is T versus C. Trump versus Clinton. Who's ahead in that horse race? Why, it's her. Well, she's moving up a nose. No, no, no. He's got it. Oh, he's coming around. He's coming around the far turn. He's up by five. She's down by five. Every minute, that's all you want to hear about. How in the world is possible? Is this even possible? So the minute I got off the radio last night, I got out my old phytochemistry dictionary. It's 1,000 pages to show you how smart I am, just to lord it over you, right? And I was interested in the structure of niacin. And I was reading, I'm going to get back to Trump in a minute. I know that's all you want to talk about. But I was reading about the structure of the chemical niacin, the vitamin niacin B3. And I found this particular phrase, which is directly related to what I'm talking about, borders, language, and cultures. Culture. Somebody wrote this. Many of the same factors that brought the Italian Renaissance to an end, among them corruption, wars, wow, and a widespread backlash over secularism and indulgence, also terminated the Renaissance or rebirth in Spain. The above led to the resurrection of the Inquisition. I had to ponder that over and over again. It was written by a chemist who was writing about niacin to show you how brilliant scientists are and who people you never hear from. Never. You never hear a word they say. Instead, we hear two-line sentences from sluts in Hollywood who fall over on a dress at Cannes. That's the whole story. Leo DiCaprio jumped over a wall to get to a pocketbook party. That's the front page of the New York Post. That's as far as Murdoch's children can do. Every day, a picture of a woman with a breast falling out of Cannes. That's the extent of America. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm out of touch with America. Maybe you do want to hear about Clinton and Juanita Broderick and a rape job. Like, I give a damn. How could that matter to you? Why doesn't Trump's advisors, Ed Rollins, just go out and buy a purple dress, take it to a deli somewhere in New York, spill some soup on it, let the soup dry, get a stain on a purple dress, and the next time Donald Trump appears, he should wave a purple dress around and talk about the purple dress and the stain. Maybe that would appeal to the average person out there. Maybe that'd be a great campaign agitprop trick. I could be wrong. It could be that's all they care about. I mean, if Harvey Weinstein can make a living putting out the pulp he puts out, et cetera, down the line, cascade with me if you don't mind, then I'm wrong. And they're right. These advisors are geniuses. Look what they've done to America so far. I mean, Ed Rollins is such a smart man, and the other advisors to Trump, the K Street gang, look how smart they are that they've been running the country so long and they're not in prison. Take a think about that. They're much smarter than I am. They can get away with robbing the Treasury blind through internal contracts and things of that nature, taking us into wars that we don't want, and still not go to prison. So they're much smarter than I am. Then I wake up and I say, this is the final straw. Trump to meet with Kissinger on foreign policy advice? In order to tap his expertise on foreign policy? They will talk about China? Why is Kissinger still relevant? Well, here's another issue for those of you out there who thought we were getting something new. The 92-year-old former diplomat and great disco dancer, Hank Kissinger, well known to a dance at Studio 54 in his heyday, is a man who single-handedly stabbed the American troops in the back during the Vietnam War, amongst other wonderful things that he has done to this country. But he's also very worrisome, from my point of view, because he's an elitist of the highest order. He's a member of the Bilderbergs. Last year, Hillary praised Kissinger. In a review for his book, World Order, Clinton referred to Kissinger's compelling case for building a global architecture. Writing for the Washington Post, Hillary Clinton fawned over Henry Kissinger's lifelong work, arguing that no viable alternative for the future remains except a new world order globalism. I thought that Trump was anti-globalism. I thought it was nationalism versus globalism. And now he's moving towards globalism in terms of what Kissinger wants, the lobbyist for China. Kissinger's a lobbyist for China. He's about as worse, better than American as you could ever find. He is exactly what Cicero warned us about. Those who whisper in the halls of the state itself. I don't understand that this is a matter. You'd rather hear about the dress with a stain on it. That's it. How to take niacin for depression and anxiety. I guess I can't do that. I was going to do a show on niacin for depression and anxiety, since half of America is depressed and anxious, and they're on dangerous pharmaceuticals that are killing them, turning them into zombies that care about stains on dresses instead of stains on the nation. So I figure maybe if I can get them on high doses of niacin, which is non-toxic, and help them treat their depression and anxiety, they might actually be able to hear something. But all right, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to talk about wars, corruption, secularism, indulgence, the Renaissance. I'm not going to talk about how statins are amongst dangerous drugs ever invented, and that in the long term they will be seen for what they are. This will be, in years to come, the statins that you're all being put on will be seen as the asbestos of our time. The internal asbestos. You'll wait and see the legal claims that are going to be made in your lifetime against the statin manufacturers. It's like the OxyContin of the muscle groups. All right, again over the rainbow here. Okay, what do you want to say on this? I think I said it all. Maybe I should say that's it for the day and play a best of. No, I'm not going to do that. But I'm telling you, I'm bored of it. I'm just bored of this stuff, and I don't want to hear anymore. Yesterday was a much more interesting show to me. What does God mean? Where is God? What is truth? People love that show. But I didn't want to do the same show again. I just didn't want to go there again with the same exact show. There are major issues other than Clinton's stained dress. And I mentioned them. So many issues. I don't have to mention them again. Okay, WDRC Radio. George, what do you think about what I said?
Well, first off, a show on the Venus flytrap would be interesting, but as far as Trump...
Wait a minute. Thank you for the call. He's a regular caller, I could tell by the voice. You know, the guys in radio, they change the station signal. They're all listening online. That's the streaming. Then they have 5-6 different station call letters that they have written in front of them, and they call under different names, and once they hear the voice, it's a death knell. They're off. We don't take regulars. Regulars are a show killer. The only people who use regulars are those who don't even have real callers. Since I have more callers than I can deal with, I'm always looking for something new. That's all. M-A-L, Kyle, Washington, D.C. What's on your mind, Kyle? What's the topic?
You know, Dr. Savage, now that you say it, you know, why do we have to keep talking about this Trump thing? I would much rather listen to you talk about niacin and anxiety. That, you know, we are in the election cycle, and unfortunately, we do have to talk about the circus life of America today and how, you know, the ring keeps going, Trump keeps doing this, Hillary keeps doing that, yada, yada, yada. And your show has been great. Your show has enlightened.
Yeah, I noticed you put it in the past tense.
What's that?
I noticed you just made that statement about my show had been great in the past.
Oh, well, I've been listening to your show for now 3 years since, you know, I was in the military. I was down on, in Lejeune, and I got to listen to you. And you speak to us Americans. You spoke to me. I've told people about your show in the Marine Corps, and they love you. You have changed our lives. You've changed my brother Ski's life. You changed my life. Everything you tell is the truth. You are a full-bred American, and the fact that we are talking about the...
I sound like a drill sergeant. That's why you like me, is because I have a command voice, so you listen to it. And then when I say things, they actually make sense.
You are a leader of this generation.
I have leadership qualities, but I choose to be invisible and use only the radio for the leadership because I feel it's the most powerful medium in the world, by the way. Don't underestimate radio. It's still the most powerful medium in the entire world. It's more powerful than the Internet because it has a human component that the Internet cannot ever match. That's why I say radio is not quite dead yet. Kyle, I'm sending you Government Zero and a copy of my book, Teddy and Me. A double job. Morley's safe or dead. He retired last week and died a week later. I don't know what... I have nothing to say, good or bad. You're not supposed to speak about the dead in any negative way. I didn't know the guy. 60 Minutes, Morley Safer dies at 84. Leftist, for sure. Lifetime leftist. Attacked the American troops. Ripped them to shreds. He was the beginning of the end of the Vietnam War. When he showed GIs burning the huts of Vietnamese villagers, they suddenly made him into an American icon. Sorry, I'm really not in love with Morley Safer's work. Morley Safer was a classic. Think of him as Bernie Sanders with a camera. If Bernie Sanders... So thank you very much, sir. If Bernie Sanders had been a cameraman in Vietnam, he would have done what Morley Safer did. Now I'm supposed to worship him because Les Moonves of CBI, oh, he was a great man. Great man, one of the great men. No, sorry, wasn't a great man. Stabbed the American troops in the back. That's what he did. It's not a sad day for all of us in America. Pardon me. Not that interested in Morley Safer. Another leftist from the CBS news broadcast there, 60 Minutes. Tick, 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 tick. Another meatloaf eater. All right, what are we doing here? It's a quarter to the hour. I can't say the time even. That's the problem with a show that's in many time zones. You're not interested in the chemistry of Viagra. Okay, look, I'll talk about the chemistry of the election then. Listen, if I can study the chemistry of Viagra and actually understand it chemically, and I can... It's very complicated, incidentally. It's a very complicated series of things that have to happen. It's not just blood flow and all of that. I'm not going to make any stupid jokes. But it's nitric oxide, blood flow. But it's not just that. There's something about that reduces the blood flow and the whole thing that happens with the blood flow that's so chemically interesting to me. And if you go into that, you study PDE5's machinery, also known as 5-methoxy-5-methylpiperazine, Y-sulfonylphenyl-1-methyl-3-propyl-1-6-dihydro, 7-H-pyrazole, 4,3-D-pyrimidine-7-1, you can understand how I know exactly what's going on in your political world. Michael Savage, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. There's something new under the sun. All right, so here we are, the billion-dollar election. And we're talking about the dysfunction of this election on so many levels. And I'm griping about the fact that Donald Trump, who was our hero, borders, language, culture, and nationalism, America first, all of a sudden, it's about Hillary and the dress. And I'm sick of it. It's wrong. And it's because he's being misadvised by the K Street advisors, in my estimation, who destroyed America. And they're doing it again. And that's where I'm coming from. I got so bored from the news last night that I started studying chemistry again. I spent hours poring over chemical formulae. No, I'm not creating anything. I'm just studying it again. Because I got to... The reason I went into science originally was to get away from politics. I don't know if you know that. I hated the political world then because it was such a lie. So I went into, like, phytochemistry, plant chemistry, because I thought there was truth in nature. And I know there's truth in nature. And Linus Pauling, one of my great heroes, said that the reason he went into chemistry is because it was the one field that he knew he could find the absolute truth in science. In other words, when you break it down to what the element is and what it looks like and what it's composed of, that's it. You know, chromium is chromium, nickel is nickel, iron is iron, lead is lead, gold is gold. There's no messing around. That's what the formula is. So he knew that by studying these things, he could arrive at the truth. So now you move into the world of politics where there is no truth. It's all a lie. Everything is ethereal. You can't put your hand on it. And so I'm griping about it. So I had a lot of, my mind relaxed last night. And I was reading out niacin because I'm interested in lowering my triglycerides and my HDL, LDL and this and that without using statins, which are a poison for many people. And I always knew about niacin. It's just that I don't take it because of the flush. And I also know that niacin also produces other effects that I don't like. For example, niacin does affect the liver. And I stumbled upon the fact that niacin has been found to prolong orgasm. This was a side note. I said, what? I had no idea. So I thought about that, and I said, well, niacin's only pennies a tablet, but it doesn't come with GFE. And I was wondering if that had anything to do with Bill Clinton. And that brought me right back to politics. You see, all roads lead back to the purple dress at the end of the day. So if you'd rather I talk about cyclic guanosine monophosphate, or CGMP, because this is the part of the equation that most men are interested in. This is what has to do with the blood flow in the arteries. It's not just nitric oxide. You need to know about the cyclic guanosine monophosphate, or CGMP, because that's the big deal here. And then about the PDEs that make it go away, and how to keep those things that make it go away from interfering with the opening of the arteries. Otherwise, it doesn't, you know, only works part of the way. And it's very interesting. The whole chemistry of the human body, medicine, physiology, anatomy, you know, the doctors understand this, scientists understand it. How could we focus only on these simplistic statements as full human beings, I ask myself? You're really interested in Hillary and Bill and what happened with Bill Clinton in the White House all over again? You know what? I didn't even talk about it when it happened. I said it's a bore. How do you like that?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, I don't like this music. The only music I like are the ones I pick. Welcome to the show. I don't even know what that is. We're talking about a very important topic, which is no man is an island. That includes me, that includes you, that includes Donald Trump, it includes Hillary Clinton, it includes Barry from Honolulu. No man is an island. We're actually all connected. And what one does, the other, you know, it's like somebody, the effects are felt, let's put it to you that way. Especially in the digital age where acts that would ordinarily be unknown seem to trigger all the way down the line, the tin cans start to move, so to speak, right? We're more interconnected than ever, everybody knows that. So when you see a campaign that ran on wall with Mexico, no Muslims until we could figure this thing out, make America great again, America first, we all resonated. I supported Donald Trump more longer than anyone in the industry, and I still do, by the way. I am complaining about the direction his campaign has taken, talking about something as stupid as Bill Clinton's activities in the White House. Now, I got to go back to that topic for a minute, because I listed all the other topics that are far more significant, important, that should be part of a campaign. And I'm embarrassed to be an American listening to this crap. The only reason I became fascinated and interested in the Trump campaign is because the issues that he was talking about are issues I have written about in my last 3, 4, 5, 6 bestsellers going back years now. Borders, language, culture. So I had, okay, candidate that I can relate to. It's not that I know him personally or I wanted anything. Now all of a sudden we're back to Hillary. Hillary didn't do anything when Bill was doing this to that woman, Juanita Broderick. So I say, I'm not going there. You can't get me to go there. So I listed all of the other things that are so much more important that should be talked about, in my estimation. And I know why Donald Trump's going there. No one has to spell it out for me and send me a special delivery letter. Ed Rollins was hired, a Republican operative. How many other operatives from K Street who have given us Rince Priebus and all of the others are now running the Trump campaign? I would suggest many of them. It's why peace was made with them. Remember for a while they were saying he was not going to be our candidate? Remember how strong that was 3 weeks ago? Oh, we're going to fight him. We're going to fight it on the convention. You don't hear any more about Cleveland, do you? Because a deal was made. And the deal was made that if these operatives from the Republican Party who have screwed America for all these years can get in there and inveigle their way and run things again behind the scenes, then suddenly he'll be the candidate. Oh, really? Okay. So here we are now? Now what are we supposed to do? What we're supposed to do is I'm going to stick to my guns, to my integrity, my position, and that's the end of it. What comes of it, comes of it. The only thing that matters to me is that I give you what I think is the straight truth. Period. End of story. So that's what I did in hour number one. And now we're coming down to this thing again. Again, I'm going to hear about Bill Clinton in the White House did this to women. If I remember correctly, that was in the year 1996, Robert. Isn't that about when it was? I started in radio in 1994. Bill Clinton was president. And the whole thing with the women and the Oval Room and the oral office was occurring. You know something? I sloughed it off. I didn't talk about it on the radio. I can get the original tapes for you for tomorrow. I'll get one soundbite from then. I dismissed it as not important, and I said this is a distraction. And it was a distraction. I said that this whole obsession in the media about Bill Clinton and the women came up at the very time that there were huge scandals about the Clinton family. Huge scandals. And I stayed on the scandals. I knew it was a distraction. In other words, the media that made believe it was attacking Bill Clinton on the scandals, the devils in the media that were doing it understood two things. They understood this would be a good distraction from his real scandals. And I forget exactly what the big scandal was at that time that he was covering up by suddenly leaking this thing with the women. This was leaked by the Clintons, incidentally. The whole, whatever her name was, that heavyset girl who went and sold pocketbooks and no one ever, Monica Lewinsky. No, she wasn't running Donald. She wasn't that's Ludinsky, different person. They're not related. The whole thing that occurred was leaked by the Clintons, in my opinion, to distract you from what he was really doing that should have had him indicted. That's what I said then. So that's what I was talking about. Now, that's the important thing to remember. So the devils in the media made believe that they were being fair by attacking Bill Clinton for these affairs, but they weren't. They were doing it to distract you from his real crimes and misdemeanors at the time. See? So now they're doing it again. We're having it again, but this time it's coming from the Trump side. The reason we are hearing about Bill Clinton and the purple dress is because we're not hearing about the email scandals, which the scandal has greatly threatened our national security. So it's all part and parcel in the same exact machine all over again. And I have nothing to offer you but my analysis and my vision of the truth. It's that simple. I can't start repeating myself and do hour one for hour two now. So I'm not going to do hour two now like hour one. If you want to call on it and the other stuff, go ahead, make my day. But I'm going to do this for a little diversion while you're calling on that, which is I'm going to my website, my little site that could, michaelsavage.com, and I want to see what stories I and the team put up today. On the top, racist black student wails on a white student, beating the heck out of a white girl, almost killing her in a classroom, and no one stops her. And the leftist media is silent about this crime. No coverage whatsoever. It came from Infowars.com. It's an actual video. Next one, Michael Savage's Poignant, Brilliant Teddy and Me by Rich Lieberman. Egypt air crash, almost certainly a terror attack. You want to talk about that for 3 hours? I think it was terror. Wasn't terror. Might have been terror. Could have fallen. Wasn't fallen. It was radar. Wasn't radar. What do you know? Joe, what do you know? What do you think? Hey, Joe, you're on Michael Savage show. You think it was terror? You think the Muslims did it to the Muslims? Hey, Joe, what do you know? No, I'm not going to do it. Carried to State Department staff on Iran deal, embellish it a little bit for the grandchildren. De Blasio bureaucrats, that's in New York City, if you don't know what De Blasio is, to find businesses that fail to use correct gender pronouns. You hear this psycho? You're a psycho like this? A mayor of a major city is forcing people to use correct gender pronouns? The sicko that he is? What a distraction this is. New York businesses face hefty penalties for misgendering customers. Are you listening to this? Well, you got to hear this. Greeting customers as Mr. or Mrs. or not even using the pronouns Z or Zer could prove costly for New York City businesses under rules drafted by the mentally insane mayor, Millie de Blasio. The Gotham Mayor's Psycho Commission on Human Rights says entities that fail to address customers by their preferred gender pronouns or titles are in violation of the LUA and could be subject to penalties of up to $250,000. Now, how would someone who's running a coffee shop in the middle of a busy day understand what a sicko wants to be called? How can anyone know what they want to be called? Should they carry a sign? If they carried a sign on their body, like a little sign on their chest, and they want to be called Zer or whatever, I could see it. Don't call me Mr. or something like that. Don't call me Mrs. Call me Zer. Okay, then I could see. How would anyone know that? How could if a transgender woman comes in and someone says him or her, or Mr., say Mr. to a guy, how can anyone know? How could you know what the guy is or wants to be called? This is the insanity of the world we're living in. So this is a guide put out by the sickest administration in American history. In my day, Bill de Blasio would be in a backward of Creedmoor State Mental Hospital for the mentally incompetent. Today he's running the city. That's all. I never heard of anything like this. Legal liability for not calling someone by their gender pronoun? In other words, endorsing a psychotic political message at the right time in the right place? How could people put up with this after the sick president also should be in Creedmoor, in another back ward, in a padded cell? Issued an order compelling public schools nationwide to regulate restrooms and locker rooms on the basis of gender identity rather than biological sex. Another one should be in a padded cell somewhere. Instead, he's running the world. So there's your human rights commissions now. Everything is twisted in the world. So now I'm going to pay attention to the Clinton dress. No. No, sir. Those are some of the topics. You want to call on them? Come into the year. That's all. How did de Blasio become a mayor? How'd they vote this guy in? Well, the same way that we wound up with Obama. That's all. How? It's a Capricorn 1. The whole thing is Capricorn 1. That's why I'm not so sure about this campaign right now. And by the way, you missed the whole thing I said in the first hour. I don't care about Clinton's women. I didn't then, I don't now. Told you that. But I also threw you a curveball, which is that if Clinton wants to win the presidency, the best thing would be for her to make it a Clinton-Sanders ticket. Clinton president, Sanders VP, that's it. Because half the people who are for Sanders will go over to Trump in a general election because they don't like her. But if they get a little bit of Sanders as a VP, can you imagine him living in the Maryland? They have to move to Annapolis. She's liable to rob the curtains there, Mrs. Sanders. She could open a bagel deli in the back of Annapolis there. She could open up a little bagel stand in the back to pick up a little extra gelt. I never saw a piece of work like her. Bankrupted a college and not a mention in the newspaper. Nothing. Now, bankrupted the college that she ran. Investigated for bank fraud, not a mention by Morley Safer's descendants at CBS. It didn't make it to tick, tick, tick. That's not a 60-minute study. But if a conservative sneezes already, it's tick, tick, tick. We have special insight now about a conservative who sneezed in front of a transgender. And although the conservative said it was only a sneeze, the transgender was so offended he had a heart attack. And he went to the hospital and he's suing the conservative for $18 million. Because he thought the sneeze said she when he really was a he. And the guy said, achoo! What did you call me? That's an anti-Semitic remark. No, no, I just sneezed. Achoo! No, no, how dare you use an anti-Semitic remark like that? That's $250,000 right there. Tick, tick, tick. That's the world we're living in. That's the world I'm living in today. And I have to make sense of this. Okay, KBET Radio, line 2. Jim, what's on your mind? What's the topic?
Hello. The thing that Trump should be talking about is the need for an economic and cultural renewal in the inner cities.
Right. What do you mean by a renewal in the inner cities? What does that mean? Give crack dealers $1 million each?
Well, no, that's not what I mean. What I mean is an economic business renewal in the inner cities. He's the only one.
Wait, a business renewal? What, so they can burn the businesses down? Look what they did. What do you mean inner cities? Let's start with Baltimore. Wasn't that an inner city that had some businesses in it until Barack Obama steamed up the mobs to burn the city down? Who would open a business in Baltimore again?
In a Trump administration, possibly people would. If I can just finish.
Who would risk putting money into a place where the police are not allowed to do their job? Did you see what happened in Ferguson? Because the police were deballed by Eric Holder and Barack Obama. Who would open a business in Ferguson today? That's why it's boarded up. You want to talk about inner cities? Take a look at Detroit, what happened to it, because of catering to the mobs instead of putting them in their place with police. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back. Thanks for asking.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. This is Savage Nation. I can't say Mr. Savage anymore. I have to call myself by a new pronoun. I don't know what the correct one is. Is there a correct one for a talk show host that I don't know about? Imagine doing this to a business. Why would de Blasio do a thing like this right now, fining businesses $250,000 in New York, if they don't address someone by the proper pronoun? How would they know what to call a person? Well, the reason he's doing it is very clear, because he's under indictment or about to be under indictment for pay-to-play. The scandals in New York are overwhelming. Sheldon Silver went to prison. Another guy from the state Senate, number three, him and his son. Cuomo now, him, are being looked at because they have a great U.S. attorney. But the fact is that in order to make sure that he has the radical mobs out in the streets on his side, he now caters to them. You know, the loudest voices and all that, the squeakiest wheels. He's getting them ready to scream that he's a good guy. It's the whole human rights racket that they use in order to get these people outside buildings where they want them to go. It's a very classic move of the radical left. They have the mobs. We don't have any mobs. We work for a living. They don't. De Blasio bureaucrats define businesses that fail to use the correct gender pronouns. I'm sorry, I don't even know what the correct pronouns are. I'm an old-timer. I know if a man comes into a restaurant I'm working, say, what can I do for you, sir? A woman comes and I say, madam, how can I help you? How would I know if someone underneath their clothing is something else? How would I know that? Do I have x-ray vision? What if a waiter says to a transsexual who was a woman, or whatever, I don't know, I can't, okay, dressed as a man, but as a woman inside. Under the suit, there's a woman. And he says, sir, can I help you? What, he pays $250,000 for that? Or conversely, you know, look at the insanity that you're living in. George Orwell would not believe this is going on. New York will allow some illegals to teach and practice medicine. I swear to God. The same de Blasio is now changing the rules to allow illegal aliens to teach and practice medicine. Can you believe this? Teach and practice medicine. After the state's so-called licensing board voted Tuesday to accept applications from illegals brought to the U.S. as children. The action by the so-called Board of Regents will open up new opportunities for thousands of people with deferred action for childhood arrivals, or DACA, blah, 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 blah. Anything they can do for a non-American, they will do. Anything they can do against an American, they will do. Attorney General Eric Schneiderman called this action another critical step toward addressing our broken immigration system. Sure, Schneiderman, absolutely, like you're not pandering to the mobs. All of them are the same. Why don't you just get up there, Schneiderman, and say that you hate white males? That's the latest thing, is all the white males are jumping on the, oh yeah, this place is too white. Bob Schieffer said it the other day, the old white male from one of the news bureaus. Yes, this newsroom is too white. It's too rich white. There's too many rich whites in here. Who are they fooling? Why do they do things like this? Who are they appeasing? Who are they addressing? They don't look in a mirror in the morning? How do they do this? They have children, grandchildren. I think most of them are on medication. Personally, I think the explanation is they're on drugs. There's no explanation for this other than drug addicts. Not him in particular, not anyone I'm naming. How could a man say a thing like this and not understand the hypocrisy of it? Okay, that's the world I'm living in. Okay, my friends, when I come back, we'll talk about all the new news that's breaking and the old problems of who could beat a Clinton-Sanders ticket on the other side. Who should Trump pick to fight a Clinton-Sanders ticket? It ain't Newt Gingrich.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
I don't care who you are. No one has satisfaction. Everyone's miserable. Billionaires. Doesn't matter. Everyone's suffering. Play it. You think I'm wrong? I don't care if you have a penthouse on Park Avenue, a yacht in the Mediterranean. You're miserable, and you know it. Everyone's frustrated and angry. Everyone's hoping that tomorrow will bring a better day. That's the human condition. That's all. Sean on WMAL Radio in Washington, D.C. Sean, what's your question or comment?
My question, Dr. Savage, is in your lifetime, what do you consider to be the most important scientific breakthrough?
In my lifetime?
Yes, doctor.
Viagra. Well, I mean, think about it. It's brought more joy to more people than any other discovery.
I thank you for sharing that.
I don't know. It was the first thing that came to my mind as sort of a comedic answer. I mean, in my lifetime, scientific discoveries, I would say on the magnitude of insights, the greatest scientific discovery in my lifetime would be the double helix by Watson and Crick. And, of course, Mr. Watson was rewarded for that by being fired at the Cold Spring Harbor Laboratories for saying something politically incorrect. One of the greatest scientific geniuses of our time was actually fired from the Cold Spring Harbor Laboratories for daring to say something politically offensive about blacks and Jews. Would you believe this?
I had never heard that.
No one hears anything. Well, you really seriously want me to answer it? The double helix by Watson and Crick would be one of the great scientific discoveries. But in terms of what the average person would say is a great scientific advancement or discovery, I would say Viagra. I'm not kidding. It was originally, it was in England, by the way. Strangely enough, it was an British scientist who were looking for a blood pressure medicine, something to lower blood pressure. And they developed this chemical, sildenafil, I believe. And when they tested it, they found out that, yes, it lowered blood pressure, but it had a side effect, which was provoking erections. And so the company that was paying for the research decided, hey, who cares about blood pressure? Let's sell it as, you know, the other thing. And they did, and it became a great, great hit. So this is how science works. Sometimes you look for one thing and you find another. So it kind of is a comedic answer, but it's not really that far from the truth. I mean, it has affected a lot of people. Millions of people buy this stuff. Certainly, you have to say the antibiotics would be great discoveries, such as penicillin, but that occurred before my lifetime. I don't know. What would you think in your mind, as a non-scientist, would be the greatest scientific discovery that pops into your head?
As a non-scientist, but a retired Marine, I was going to go with reverse osmosis water purification, taking salt water and turning it into drinking water. It's a machine. You don't have to set up a distillation plant. And the one I worked with could make 600 gallons of potable water in an hour.
I had one of those on my boat. Every boat has one. Any you know, boat of a certain size that does offshore cruising has a water maker, and I think they all work off reverse osmosis. Genius. Again, genius discovered by the most despised class of human beings the world has ever seen. The people who have given us all of civilization. Thank you very much for that call. 855-407-282 is the phone number. Let's go to WNTW Radio in Virginia. Robert, what's your topic? Fire away.
Hi, Mr. Savage. I was wondering, the comment I have is regarding the usage of the term Z and Zer as gender-neutral pronouns. I think the point behind using them is so that you don't have to identify whether who you're speaking with is a man or a woman or a transgender. And I think it's...
Excuse me, why would I do that? Tell me why I would twist all of humanity for a 0.1% of the population. How crazy are we as a society that the whole of civilization has to twist itself into a pretzel over some people who are gender confused?
Right, yeah. I think...
I mean, really, do you understand what I'm saying to you? How insane this is? You mean all of the history of civilization and humankind, where a man is born a man and a woman is born a woman, some people are homosexual, some are not, some are transsexual, some are not. Now you're going to change all of humanity for the few who are not, who are confused about their gender identity, and you can't say Mr. or Sir anymore? I'm sorry, this is insanity.
I can see why it's uncomfortable to use. I just think...
Uncomfortable? It's not uncomfortable. It's nutty. It's nutty. What civilization on earth permits a very small, small, small percentage of a percentage to dictate the terms of the entire society?
Well, it'd be like why we have handicapped restrooms or a ramp. Well,
here we go again, right? Now compare it to the African Americans against slavery. I'm waiting for that comparison.
I'm not arguing for or against it. I'm simply, I think that's just the kind of, instead of being confused as to whether or not you have to identify someone as a man.
I think it's confusing to confuse people with a non-issue. I think that's really confusing. You mean, like, fill out a driver's license now, Mr., Mrs., I have to eliminate that, call myself Zer, or Zis, because of Cher's daughter?
Or even Cher herself.
All right, I'm sorry. This is insanity. And the country has to stand up to these terrorists. This is a terrorism. This is a form of terrorism. This is social terrorism, plain and simple. It's the same thing that you see going on, whether they... whether it's a city being burned down, the police being told to stand down, or now we're being told, oh, put up with this, put up with that, blah, blah, blah. I've never seen anything like this. And look what we're talking about. Okay, WJR, Daniel, what's your topic? Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, I'd just like to say, can you hear me clearly? I don't know if my phone...
Yes.
Thing I'd like to tell you is, I agree with you all the time on this deal with Trump. I kind of disagree with you because he didn't bring it up. They attacked him on the New York Times this morning, and he simply addressed it and put out the fire. But I think that he done the right thing because, this Hillary Clinton scandal, nobody ever has the guts to really put him in their place. And you know, to be honest with you, Donald Trump's best ally is you. I mean, he really is. Everybody else in the media, they don't, they steer away from everything. But you're his greatest ally. And when you seem to be mad at him, it discourages a lot of people because you're a wonderful ally to him. And I just hate to...
Well, I'm not mad at him. I'm mad at the people he hired to advise him. I think that by talking about Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton 30 years ago with the issues of sexuality in the White House is a distraction from the real issues that the nation should be facing. I want to be very clear. This is an attack upon his advisors. Nothing about Donald Trump. I hope he comes to his senses and breaks free of the chains that they have put him in.
But see, Mike, they brought it up, and all he did, he's right back talking about all the important things. But he is.
All right. Well, I can't wait to hear about all the other stuff, Daniel. And I will send you a copy of Government Zero so that you can talk about all the important stuff with your friends. And I don't think that what you said is wrong. I think that what you said is correct. Man, he was saying he's just responding to attacks he has to defend. I disagree. He could have taken the high road and said, you know what? Instead of talking about this nonsense about this and that, about me with women, she's just avoiding the fact that the border with Mexico has been dissolved because of her, et cetera. He could have done it that way. And I think he made a mistake. You know, people are not perfect. Even the best candidate in the world can be imperfect and make mistakes. I believe this is a mistake. It's as simple as that. Why do you think he's perfect? Do you think I'm perfect? Of course you don't. Is there anyone in the world that you look up to as perfect other than God? No. So what I'm saying to you is a candidate can make a mistake too. I believe this is a mistake. And I am yelling as though I am in a room with Donald Trump and his advisors saying you're all wrong. You're all a pack of liars. You belong on K Street where you came from. And you're taking my candidate and you're distracting him and putting him in the wrong direction. And it's going to alienate his core support. That's what I am trying to do here. I'm trying to be the loudest voice in the room of advisors. Oh, they have his ear. I don't. But I have something bigger than his ear. I have your ear. And you are the voters. Never forget that. You are the voters, not them. What are there, 50 of them in a room? 50 advisors from K Street? Well, there are millions of you who are listening to the show, who have come to respect the show, respect Donald Trump, see that I have supported him from the beginning, and can understand that friends can disagree. And I disagree with the advisors he has hired. It's that simple. Bill on WABC Line 2, what's on your mind?
Yes, I think this has nothing to do with his advisors. I think this has to do with everything about Donald Trump's ego after that hatchet job the New York Times did. He was embarrassed in his hometown. His daughter was on TV. And I think this is a smart move. Discredit Bill Clinton early so he won't be a factor in the campaign. Anything Hillary says about Bill, he could just simply bring his the assault charges that many women have said he is. But I think it was all Donald. I think he wanted to get back at the New York Times, and he knew how to do that, knew what he was doing. It was very calculated. That's just my...
All right. I'm sure that you are not alone in that analysis, and I accept it. But I still think that there are far more important issues, frankly. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. They're calling the hemorrhoid a conservative now. A man who rubbed cornflakes in his face. Glenn Beck rubbed cornflakes in his face to try and get the guy who's running against Trump elected. I don't even remember his name. Celia Cruz's son. And when Celia Cruz's son didn't get anywhere, Glenn Beck, who is clearly nuts, in my opinion, rubbed cornflakes in his face. Now he visits Zuckerberg on the issue of banning or whatever, censoring conservatives. And now Mr. Cornflake comes back and likes Mr. Zuckerberg and says he's honest. This is astounding. This is astounding to me what the world is, all lies and smoke. And everything's a lie. Nothing is real. That's why I did What's the Truth yesterday. Who's telling you the truth? That's why the show today is what it is today. I'm telling you what I think is the truth. Now, politically, I could be on the third rail of my career. I get that. Many of you don't want to follow me where I'm going. You're angry at me. You're disturbed. You're true believers. You think Trump is the savior of America. Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. I'm just saying maybe he isn't. Why am I not allowed to ask the question when I see he's already conferring with Henry Kissinger? When I see that he's making the issue of the dress, the purple dress, I feel like I'm in purple haze here. And so I could have held my fire for another month and said, let it all blow over. And when he's back to the borders and the Muslim thing, but I don't think he's going to go back there. And today's show is my own feeble attempt to be the loudest voice in the room. Whether he will hear this or not is open to question. I have no idea who listens to this show for him. I'm sure that there are those who do, because I've heard many of my statements in his speeches for many, many months. Many years, as a matter of fact. And I'm hoping that they're still monitoring radio to see what we're saying about Mr. Trump, because I sincerely mean that he has a chance to rescue his support amongst his base by sticking to the things that got him where he is and not being distracted now with this nonsense about Bill Clinton 30 years ago, because I think it's a disastrous mistake. And the reason he's doing it, you came up with reasons, many of you, that he had to do it, this and that. Okay, maybe you're right. But I actually don't think that's the reason. I think that the advisors are from the Republican National Committee, and they're the ones who are now directing the campaign. WABC, Tracy, what's your topic? Go ahead, please.
Hi, Tracy. I wanted to talk to you about the transgender issue. I listen to you often, and this is the second time I caught you talking about transgender. And I was wondering if you have ever met or talked to someone who feels they're not in the right body.
Instead of putting me on the spot here like I'm in the Spanish Inquisition, what's your point?
I'm glad it's not a huge issue in the United States, but I have been to meetings for parents and friends of homosexual people, and also for meetings for parents and families of transgender children. This is a heartbreaking issue. These children know, around 4 or 5 years old, that they were born into the wrong body.
Well, I have sympathy for them, and so what's your point?
You make it sound like, oh, who cares about?
So you mean a child with leukemia dying in a back ward? I'm not supposed to pay attention to that child? I'm supposed to forget about children who are actually dying of cancer?
That has nothing to do with this situation.
What do you mean? Well, there's only a certain amount of compassion a human being can expend on strangers. I preserve my compassion for children who are actually dying of cancer, for example. So I tend to fund those organizations. I mean, there's a lot of problems in the world. Everyone has problems. To me, the transgender problem is not the largest problem on the planet.
Never said that, but you have a little bit of compassion.
No, you're trying to make it bigger than all the other issues. And I'm trying to put it in perspective. I think it's out of proportion to its importance. And so, if you want to rank importance, I would start with children who are racked with pain dying of cancer. As children, we should be paying attention to. Now, if a person has sexual dysfunction or doesn't understand who they are sexually, that's certainly a problem for children. But I don't think it's society's number one problem.
You're saying, I'm not saying that either. I never said that. I'm just saying.
So what are you, so kindly illuminate me. What are you saying?
You're saying, oh, they're confused. Like, oh, I don't know which sex I should be today. They are born one sex and they know they are really the other sex.
I heard it. I've read it. I know it. Please don't lecture me on the basics of today's political correctness. And so what am I supposed to do about it?
A little bit of compassion for them.
Oh, now you're giving me a compassion thermometer? You're giving me a compassion thermometer through the airwaves.
Yes, I am.
This is called a thought. You're conducting yourself like the thought police in communist China. Do you know that?
No, I don't know that.
Yes, you are. You become like the fascist in China. That's what you leftists have become. You're trying to tell everybody what to think. But you think because you're a good person, in your heart, you're better than everybody else. This is the problem with liberals, right to the core of their heart. They know what's better for you. They know what's important for you. They know where your compassion should go. I save my compassion, madam, for the children dying in the back wards of cancer. Children who have lost their hair on chemotherapy, who are suffering and their parents are screaming out, no one cares. Or how about the soldiers who are dying, who gave their lives for this country?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The millions of Muslim refugees pouring into Europe, breaking down their borders, committing various and sundry crimes against the European people, is no longer an issue. All of a sudden, the death of Antonin Scalia, Supreme Court Justice, at a strange, weird ranch in Texas with no autopsy, immediate, whatever they do, cremation. Do you know that if a bum in the street falls down, they have to give him an autopsy by law? But, hey, Supreme Court Justice dies under weird circumstances just before Obama wants to jury-rig illegal aliens into the electorate. No investigation. That's not a topic. Gitmo detainees are released by the wonderful leader of our free country. They go back to the battlefield. That's not an issue. ISIS is attacking in Turkey. Plane comes down now in Egypt. Not a problem. North Korea is threatening us with nukes. China's threatening us. Russia's threatening us. And we're talking about Clinton and the dress again. So I'm sorry. See, I haven't lost my perspective. One of the things I try to do is retain perspective. If you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you are a man, my son. I never forgot the poem by Rudyard Kipling, but many of you have. You've lost your head. You've lost perspective. It's like the last caller in the last hour telling me about the poor problems, the problems amongst the poor transgender children. I don't deny that they're in pain because of their gender confusion. I didn't deny that. Nor did I say we shouldn't have compassion for them. I said you have to rank your compassion. You must make perspective on your compassion. You must preserve your compassion. And you must put it in order. And certainly, gender problems are a problem, I guess, for those who have them. But in terms of compassion, I would reserve it for children dying of cancer in the back wards of hospitals who are screaming in pain. I would reserve compassion for the VA hospital inhabitants who are dying in pain, not being given the care that they deserve by Barack Obama. I put them ahead of transgender individuals, wouldn't you? Would you not put veterans ahead of transgender children? So, again, it's a matter of perspective. We didn't say they should be ignored or ridiculed. No one said that. But put things in perspective, for God's sakes. As a society, I believe we've lost our perspective, and we don't know what's up, what's down, what's right, what's wrong. We can't rank anything in its order of importance. We've become deranged, and that's called insanity. Do you know that insanity, one of the definitions of insanity is derangement of order. A loss of order is a form of insanity. Our society is in a breakdown right now. You know, yesterday I did a show on what is truth, stuff like that. And we were talking about LSD, then we were talking about acid, you know, Lysergic, we were talking about psychedelics and the effects that they've had on people's lives and, you know, psychedelic horror stories. And I said something about Barack Obama in my development of the show. An idea came up, which I think I should play for you now in clip number two, just to put things in perspective for 1 minute. Go ahead, play it. What Obama is doing to this nation is the equivalent of an acid trip to a human being. He's dissolving the ego of the nation by stripping away our entire personality, our borders, language, and culture. I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of my insight. All right, so there it is. That's pretty good. Listening to it the next day. And I'm saying that if I'm ordering trying to put in order the problems that we as a society are facing, as a nation we are facing, I would say our number one problem is recovering from the acid trip that we're on under Barack Obama. That's it. So now I wake up and I see that the man that I supported for 5 years now, who I still support, I will repeat that again, I will still support him until something occurs that tells me I shouldn't. Nothing has occurred telling me I shouldn't support him. I still support him. I do not support the direction his campaign has taken. I do not support him cavorting with Henry Kissinger. I do not support him talking about Clinton and the dress. I'm sorry. So that's it. So what do you want me to do? He goes on Fox and there's no questions. No questions from Blondie and no questions from the other one last night. They were reading from the same script. No questions about anything of any importance whatsoever. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that Rupert Murdoch, the most brilliant media baron since way beyond what Hearst created. Murdoch went way beyond anything Hearst ever created. He's the most brilliant media czar in the history of the world. He controls Fox News. He's a supporter of Hillary. He's a supporter of open borders. Put two and two together, you'll come up with four. I can add, if you have lost the ability to add, don't blame me for adding correctly. Write that down, because that's what I'm trying to say to you. And that's the whole story. So if you want to call on any of these things, go ahead, make my day. WVNN, David, line four, go ahead, what's on your mind, sir?
Thank you for using the term.
Sorry, I should have called you Zer or Z. I assumed your name was David. I assumed you're a man. But if you have gender dysphoresis, I'll call you Z or something like that.
Thank you for using the term social terrorist. They really are. It's getting to us a little bit as far as just average white boy. But I would like to go back to your last caller. Her weak attack at you or her presentation has been put out all over so-called conservative news this morning. That's the second time I've heard it.
No, wait. Hillary's attack on who?
No, your previous caller, her little presentation about, oh, they're just confused, they're 5 and 6 and 7 years old. That same narrative has been used this morning throughout the so-called...
Oh, in other words, it's a robocall. They have a group of people with a nice womanly voice calling and telling us how pained certain demographic is in the society and how we should rank our compassion for them.
Yes.
Well, what can I say? I never heard her before, but I didn't fall for the attempt to put me into a position that I shouldn't be in. I'm a very compassionate man. But I preserve my compassion for the seriously ill and dying. I put the war veterans ahead of the transgendered, wouldn't you?
Yes, and a lot of us are third generation construction workers who have done things for the secret sites, and we are out in the cold.
Wait, did you say done things for the secret sites?
Well, just the construction work,
Okay, I got it. In other words, you build things for the government.
Yes. And
what,
I want to...
Then they cast you aside?
Yes, when the unions were taken over by Barack Obama and Trump, we didn't want to pay our dues anymore to support the Democrat Party, so we just got out. But...
All right, I don't follow exactly that part of it, but I think we're going to the bigger picture of for whom we should reserve our compassion. This is the most compassionate nation in the history of the world, and now we're being run through the clothing dryer because we're not compassionate enough for a very tiny demographic in the American society. And that means we are supposed to lose our perspective on who deserves our compassion most. And I'm trying to preserve that perspective without being insensitive. Don't accuse me of being insensitive to everyone's needs. I have problems. I don't cry on your shoulder. There are people with severe problems in this country, some of whom have given a great deal to this nation. They're called the veterans. In fact, we have a Memorial Day coming up in a week or so. Should we now change Memorial Day to Transgender Day in order to show how compassionate we are? After all, we have to move with the times. We can change Memorial Day to Bathroom Day. And forget those dead old men in the cemeteries. In fact, maybe plow under the crosses in all the military cemeteries and use it for public housing. You see, this is where this goes. You have to stand up at a certain point and take a chance. I realize this sounds crazy what I'm saying, but it isn't so crazy. It's actually quite brave. In the world in which I live, do you realize how brave this is to even talk about this? When you consider how these progressives are fascists and they're relentless in their hatred, in their desire to control everyone's mind? Yeah, it's that simple. WSBA in Pennsylvania. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dr. Savage. Yeah, you got me fired up today with these topics. That last woman was driving me nuts. If anything, she's the one that doesn't have compassion because they just indulge those people by encouraging the disorder that they have. It makes me so angry. It's people like us who actually do care. They're the ones who are basically encouraging their mental disorder. Anyway, that's not what I was calling. It was more about the Trump issue. I think you're right on target. I feel like we've been sold a bill of goods. I feel like he said what he needed to say to us to get our support, and now he's showing his true colors by hiring all these neocons to be his advisors to run his campaign. He's ignoring you now, not coming on the show anymore, and I'm furious about it. And I feel like too many of us are just clinging on, you know, to hope that he's going to come back, but it doesn't look like he's going to. It looks like this is just going to get worse, and this is who he is. He used us.
Now, hold on. This is probably the most important call I've ever taken, certainly this year, since this campaign started to ramp up. Did you come to that conclusion on your own or as a result of my anger today at his advisors and where they're taking him?
I've been feeling it now for weeks that something was wrong, and then it just, you know, I was listening to you today, and it was just clicked, and just like, you know, you're right. He's been taking us. I mean, I've been in denial myself because I'm a big supporter of all the things he's been pushing, but I think, you know, I hate to say it, but I feel like it was just words. I don't feel like that's really who he is. That's where I'm
starting. I hope to God that you're wrong, and I'm sure you hope the same. And we're all waiting for Donald Trump to come back to us. But my fear is that these advisors, these neocons, these K Street advisors, guys like, whose name I forget his name. What was his name, Robert? You're the one you're mentioning, the big advisor they brought in, Ed Rollins. Ed Rollins is a mainstream Republican apparatchik. He's been around forever. He's one of these backroom guys who have given us Bob Dole, John Boehner, Paul Ryan. Now all of a sudden he's in the inner circle of Donald Trump. I thought Donald Trump was going to bring in the smartest people in the world. All newcomers with new ideas and new blood. And now I see that these advisors are there, the ones who gave us the old ideas that we rejected. So I said, alarm bells go off in me. And I know that many people are going to be angry at me and disturbed for daring to say it, but I have nothing to offer except my insights and my analysis. There's nothing else I can offer. Nothing. I'm a stranger to millions of people, and yet they listen to the show because they appreciate the way my mind works and the conclusions I arrive at. And the conclusion I'm arriving at is not very nice, to be very frank, Chris. But I'm hearing from you that you arrived at the same conclusion yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And please don't stop speaking the truth. I'm just glad to hear you. I'm just glad to hear you really speak what you're feeling as opposed to, because you've been invested in him like I have, you know, just continuing to toe that Trump line when if that's not who he turns out to be, if he has conned.
You know that when I mentioned what I was going to do today because I was getting this feeling that something is wrong, people who I respect deeply, who are very high up in the media chain, who are Trump supporters, said to me, don't do this today. It's too soon. You may be wrong. I said, well, okay, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm doing this for him to hear it. I'm doing this to be the loudest voice in the room of advisors because I think that they're whispering to him and they're advising him wrongly, and I think they're going to destroy his campaign. See, I know how they think. I know exactly how they think, and I know what they're telling him. And I'll say it again. The guys like Ed Rollins, in my opinion, these old-line conservative K Street operatives, the people who have given us Bob Dole, Mitt Romney, the very people who screamed against Trump, were now hired by Trump to advise Trump. And what they're going to tell him is, forget those people who put you where you are. They got nowhere to go. You own them. Chris, do they own you?
They don't own me. And when John Boehner spoke out that he could support Trump, that was the first moment where I got terrified. And every week since, it's been getting worse.
A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face in their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. Marcus Tullius Cicero, Roman orator, statesman, 42 B.C., as quoted in Government Zero. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. All right, here it is. Here it is. We're waiting for this all day. Breaking news on the Savage Nation. Hold on to your desk. Congress has just capitulated to Obama. They're going to bail out Puerto Rico. You heard me. You heard me. House Republican sellouts and Democrat socialist bums reached a rare election year deal with the White House to try to rescue Puerto Rico from $70 billion in debt. As millions of Americans in the cash-strapped U.S. territory struggle with the loss of basic services. A revised House bill introduced late yesterday, will create a board to help restructure some debt. Negotiations between Obama, the worst president in history, and House Speaker sellout Paul Ryan helped finalize the bill. It's a fair but tough compromise, said Treasury Secretary Jack Lyer. Okay, so there it is. You're bailing out Puerto Rico. How do you like that? How do you feel about that? Would you like to bail yourself out? Good luck.
We have a bipartisan agreement now, a bill that has been dropped. Of course, it would not be the bill we have written, but it does contain a restructuring that can work. It calls for the board, the oversight board, to treat everyone equally and fairly, and by that I mean pensioners and the rest, and it is not a bailout, contrary to the misleading diagnosis.
So there she is, the most corrupt woman in the history of politics, crowing over the bailout of Puerto Rico. What's in it for them? What do the Sisters of San Francisco's political world gain from this? I wonder what's in it for them. Shopping carts, green energy scams, God only knows. I have no idea, but now all of a sudden it's my business to bail out Puerto Rico, a welfare state to begin with. Wait, here's another one to show you how great the Democrat-Republican machine is. You ready for this? Seattle officers stop several East African migrants with suitcases of cash leaving the U.S., and they're all on welfare. That's right. Jim Hoft, Gateway Pundit, Seattle County official, stopped several migrants with suitcases full of American dollars leaving the United States. All of the suspects carrying the suitcases full of cash were on welfare, and they're all from Africa. Isn't that a great country? You can come here and God knows what business you can go in, drugs, bringing in bombs. You can just imagine not pay any taxes and then take the money home to your country. That's compassionate. That's income redistribution, something that the Democrats would approve of. Here's another one. Your dear leader is going to Hiroshima next week. Hiroshima atomic bomb victims want an apology from Obama. Really? How about the descendants of the victims of the Bataan Death March? How about demanding an apology the next time the Japanese Prime Minister comes to America? Let him apologize for the Bataan Death March. Let him apologize for the experiments on living American prisoners. Let him experiment for the rape of Nanking. No, but again, America has to kowtow to the bomb victims of Hiroshima. I swear to God, this is getting worse by the day. Victims of the atomic bombings of Japan want an apology from U.S. Pres Barry Obama when he visits Hiroshima next week. The head of a survivors group said Thursday, Obama will become the first sitting U.S. president to visit Hiroshima, where the first atomic bomb was dropped on August 6, 1945, killing about 140,000 people in total. Blah, 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 blah. There we go. No one talks about the atrocities that the Japanese committed during their rape of the entire region as they ran on a rampage around the entire Southeast Asian region. No one talks about the rape of Nanking. Nobody talks about the rape of all of the areas that they conquered. Nobody talks about the destruction of the atrocities committed against American servicemen who were captured by the monsters in World War II. Instead, we're talking about why we won World War II. That's all. I urge him to apologize to those who died, bereaved families and parents who lost their children. Terumi Tanaka, Secretary General of the Japan Confederation of A&H Bomb Sufferers Organizations and a survivor of the Nagasaki explosion, told reporters. The comments came as Obama's much-anticipated journey to Hiroshima reignited emotional debate over whether the bombings were justified and whether the U.S. president should apologize. Well, I'll tell you, the bombings were justified. I'll make it very clear for those of you who don't know the history of the situation, just for one moment. I'll make it very personal. One man's story. My deceased father-in-law, wonderful farm boy from Indiana, came from Indiana, got straight A's, went to Harvard, became a lawyer, was on the football team, drafted into the U.S. Navy, fought in the U.S. Navy. His ship was blown up out underneath his feet. Men around him were turned into mush from the fight. Came back from the war, was injured, spent months in the hospital. He was to be sent to Japan after almost giving his life in the Mediterranean in order to finish the war off in Japan. And had Truman not dropped the two bombs on the nation that would not surrender after they had lost their Navy and lost their Air Force, they were going to fight to the last person in the home islands. This father-in-law of mine would have been sent to the war and probably would have died. And I wouldn't have the family that I have. I'll make it very simple. The estimate that was made by American military planners, when we had such, who planned to defeat the enemy, not to placate the psychotics in the liberal press, they estimated that it would cost Americans approximately 500,000 lives. 500,000 Americans would have died in hand-to-hand combat had we had to invade Japan. And so the decision was made to use the mega weapons of the time to end the war once and for all in a double knockout blow. Did anyone celebrate the death of individuals who were not in the war? No. Did anyone sit and cheer when children were killed? No. Did anyone celebrate when innocents were killed? No. But it was a consideration. It was called them or us. Either we drop the two bombs on Hiroshima or Nagasaki and end the war, or we lose 500,000 American men. And the decision was made that American men were more important than Japanese men in that war. How do you like that? Wouldn't it be great to live in America again where we had men who could think that clearly and that clearly for America instead of for everyone else on the planet? Well, we don't have it anymore. That's my analysis. I hope you appreciate it. Now let's go to the callers. Line 6, Sean, WSBA in Pennsylvania. What's on your mind, Sean?
Hi, thank you, sir, for taking my call. I just wanted to comment that liberal woman that called in a little while ago, she made the comment that transgender children are born, and by the age of 4 or 5, they come to the realization they're in the wrong body. They should be the opposite sex. That's just complete bull. That thought is planted in their head by a person like her. Children don't come to that realization that by the age of 4 or 5. A child that's born and raised in a normal, healthy environment is not going to come to that realization. That's something that's taught to them by an adult.
I agree with you on that, and so does the Pope, and so does every human being on the planet, except for a small band of radical progressives. Thank you for the call. Now, having said that, I've studied human sexuality from many different levels my entire life, and there are people who are... People appear on every band of the spectrum of sexuality. Let's be very clear about that. At birth, there are people on the entire spectrum of sexuality. There are men who are born who are pure, unadulterated, 100% heterosexual, in all ways, physically, emotionally, psychologically. And there's almost nothing that can be done to change that. In other words, no matter what anyone try to whisper in the ear, they're still going to be men. On the other side, women. There are women who are born 100% heterosexual. They could never become lesbians, no matter what you did with them, never. They're just not made that way. But now take the spectrum and imagine that the human genome is so complicated and so vast that genetically it's possible, chemically it's possible, emotionally it's possible with parents and whatnot, that children are born along that spectrum who are not 100% heterosexual. Some are born 100% homosexual. That's the way they're born. You could say it's not born, it's learned. Whatever you want to say, there are people who know they're gay from a very early age. You could also say there are people who feel uncomfortable in the body they were born in at a very early age, and they start to play with the boy, plays with the dolls, and he says he always wanted to be a girl. I've heard it all, I've read it all, and it's certainly possible. But it's also true that parents can shape a child's sexuality. So that if you have a little boy, for example, who likes to play with dolls, you don't have to yell at him for playing with the dolls and wanting to put on mommy's clothing. You could say to him, look, Adam, that's all well and good. There's nothing wrong with you wanting to play with dolls and dress like mommy. But you're a boy, and boys dress like this, and boys act like this. And that way, when you grow up, you'll be like daddy, and you'll meet a woman like mommy, and you'll have children. That's the order of nature. That's how societies survive. That's how a society goes forward. If you want a society to come to a dead end, then you start catering to everyone on the spectrum, and you tell them to do what you feel like. You know, if it feels good, do it. In other words, why not do it in the road? This is an extension of the whole 60s. Whatever you feel is accurate. Whatever you feel is good. Whatever you feel is true. And now look where the feelings have gotten us. It's so bad that even the Pope, who's as left as they come, has said it's enough already. With the, you know, violating the biological imperative. So I've given you the whole picture from my point of view. The parents have a huge role in what that child becomes. And certainly you can encourage a little boy to become a girl. Certainly you can encourage a little girl to become a boy. You can do that if you want. But then why are you doing it? You're doing it for what reason? Because of politics or because it's good for the child? And what is good for the child? Is it not better for the child to be raised in its own, in his or her own biological reality? Or should you say to the child, no, go with your feelings? If you start putting feelings ahead of everything else, what you wind up with is the mishmash that we have in America today. And okay, if you want to live with the mishmash, that's all well and good. But don't drag me into your confusion is the point that most of us are making. I'm sorry you're confused, but I'm not. And I don't need you telling me what I'm supposed to feel about your confusion in plain English. Got a men's room? Go in a men's room. You got a woman's room? Go in a women's room. If you don't know what you are, don't bother me. That's all. That's what most people think. What do you want us to say? This is social terrorism. That's what this is. That's exactly what's going on. And so we have to stand up to it one way or the other. We have to take chances with it. Of course you're going to offend people by saying what's true or what you think is true. But at some point you have to stand up for what you believe in. Now, let's go back to the bigger issue, the Japanese apology that they want Obama to give. He'll give a half apology like everything else he does. He'll give a nuanced apology so he can't be accused of being an apologist, okay? But you know why he's going there. It's to shame America. There's only one reason he would choose to go to Hiroshima, and that's to shame America, to make rub on noses in winning World War II. I guess he would have liked if we lost World War II. I guess that's what he would have liked. That's what we're hearing now? What, he wouldn't want us to lose World War II? Or was there a kinder, gentler way to defeat the Japanese Imperial Army that I don't know about? Is there something I'm missing here? Was there a kinder, gentler way to defeat the Japanese that I don't know about? How about enlightening me on the Savage Nation? Enlighten me. How could we have won the war without using the bombs? Use somebody else's father and uncle to die, in other words, because you're so smart, sitting in a living room somewhere in San Francisco. Tell me that my grandfather should have, my father-in-law should have died, and we shouldn't have used the bomb. Is that what you're saying? That's what you're going to tell me. But it wasn't you who were volunteering to go over there. And by the way, when I did this show many years ago, I had a Japanese call me. It was a very interesting call. I had a Japanese-American call this show and say to me, you know, you're 100% right. He said, because my, I don't know who, a relative is living on the main island of Japan during World War II. And toward the end of the war, after they had lost their Air Force and lost their Navy, every civilian in Japan was told to make a weapon out of anything they could get their hands on. A rake, a hoe, an axe. His grandmother was told to make a knife out of a bamboo stalk growing outside of her house and carve it into a weapon and to kill the Yankee when she saw him in the streets of Tokyo. Kill him. They were training every civilian to be a warrior in Japan. Did you know that? You didn't hear anything about this. Didn't make it to your local school book? And so what would have happened was, had there been a land invasion, which, incidentally, the estimate of 500,000 deaths of American troops should there have been a land invasion and not use the bomb, was based upon the loss of American lives in the invasion of Okinawa. If you study that one, you'll understand how fanatical the Japanese were as a warrior people. And so they calculated by that those losses that it would have been 500,000 American boys who would have died. And they said, no, we're not sacrificing another 500,000 men. So we have the weapons. They beat Germany to the punch. By the way, Germany was racing to develop an atomic bomb. I don't know if you know that either. That didn't make it to your progressive history book. And by the way, Japan was racing to build a nuclear weapon. That didn't make it to your history books. Oh, you didn't read that in your little PC book over there in Fresno? Well, read it in Fresno the next time. Go to a library and see what really went on instead of telling me the mush that was put into your head by your communist teachers, the haters of America. Because I know the truth. And let me tell you something. Unlike God, where they say God sees the truth but waits, I'm Michael Savage. I see the truth and I don't wait. And I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
What are we doing it around?
All right, so here we are, the end of the show, a couple of minutes. Some of you like what I'm doing, some hate it. Here's what Guy writes. Michael, I agree 100% with Trump meeting with Kissinger is horrible. He's a New World Order Luciferian, member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He wants to control and rule the world. Very, very disappointing. Trump is talking to him? Uh-oh, not good. Then the others are saying, you're wrong, Savage. Trump is being attacked for being misogynistic and sexist. Bill is fair game. You're wrong. Etc. So people are all over the map on this. And I'm sure that they're not going to agree or disagree 100%. We'll have to wait and see. I am very sad that Donald Trump's advisors are taking him off message and having him talk to Kissinger and dealing with issues such as Bill's indiscretions. Of course we want to win in November. But picking Newt Gingrich, for example, which is being bandied about, is not the way to win in November. Newt Gingrich is old baggage. Newt Gingrich is a bag that was left in a locker at a train station. An old bag that was left in a train station. And they threw the key away, and they had to go get a locksmith to drill out a locker, and they found this old bag, and it was called Newt Gingrich, and he's going to carry that now to Washington with him? I'm against that as well. Am I not allowed to say it? What is wrong with you people? Do you think that I am a political operative of a particular party or a candidate? You're mistaken if you think that. Unlike what you may think I am, I'm not. I'm not a political operative. I'm not here on this radio show for any particular candidate. Don't get that mistake. Please get that mistake out of your head. My job as a member of the media has never changed. It's to stand here on the outside and point my fingers at politicians. And even if I support a politician, when they go in a direction I don't agree with, my job is to disagree with them. That's what I am. That's the fourth estate. Do you understand that? That's what we in the media were supposed to do from the beginning. We were never supposed to become the fifth column marching in support of a particular candidate. And so that's it. I don't know what else to say to you. I have my credibility at the end of the day. That's all that matters to me. And if it doesn't please you because I'm not a cheerleader, I'm sorry about that. I don't happen to have the megaphone and the pom-poms today because I don't think they're appropriate. But if you'd like me to put them on tomorrow, maybe I won't.